Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, good afternoon. Hope all is good. Catherine in with you for the next fortnight. 51551 for your texts. ray@rte.ie for your emails. Definitely a drop in the ale temperatures around Dublin today. It's just been a bit bleh, like a bit grey and overcast, a bit pale. Excuse the pun. But isn't it amazing how offended we feel when our normal weather returns? It's only 13 degrees here today in Dublin, according to the Met Aran app. But by the time you get to Athlone, it's saying it's 20 degrees, closer to 23 degrees in Galway City. They do say west is best. So if you are still getting the sun and warmth today, let us know and send us some. 51551. And speaking of bright days, it's a bright day symbolically anyway in Dublin today, because I was reading Greta Thunberg has just accepted honorary freedom of the city. The Lord Mayor of Dublin, Caroline Conroy, nominated the Swedish environmentalist and got a reply late last night saying that she would be delighted to accept. So the last people to be awarded the freedom of the city of Dublin in 2022, three incredible women, Kelly Harrington, Ylva Smith and Professor Mary Aiken. So there you go, Greta, she's set to join an illustrious list of free men and women. And I was going down through them, former presidents John F. Kennedy and Bill Clinton, both awarded Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, entertainer Maureen Potter, former Dublin football managers Kevin Heffernan and Jim Gavin, also got the freedom of the city, broadcaster Gay Byrne and poet Thomas Kinsler. So a motley crew. And what does it actually mean, though? That's what we were looking up today. And when you do go in and look it up, the ancient duties of a free man or a free woman include being ready to defend the city of Dublin from attack and join the city militia at short notice. But we really were interested in the privileges. So the ancient privileges, you have the right to bring goods into Dublin through the city gates without paying customs duties. You've got the right to pasture sheep on common ground within the city boundaries. And you've got the right to vote in municipal and parliamentary elections. So there you go. It's the most prestigious award given by Dublin City. So fair play to Greta, but even though it's mostly symbolic today. But we were thinking, if you were given the freedom of Dublin in today's world with today's entitlements, what would you insist on, or what would you be happy to see at the top of the list? I was saying I'd love my own free car parking spot, though Greta probably wouldn't take that one up, would she? A table always reserved for you in your local restaurant. That was another suggestion. Neil said he wanted his own walking lane on Grafton Street so he doesn't have to deal with the crowds on a Saturday. I kind of get it. Free public transport was one for Grace. Free spicy margaritas from 777 on tap for Neve. That was the top of the list for her. So let me know, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. If you were given the freedom of Dublin, what would be on your list? Joe Wicks is also in the news today. We love him here too, don't we? He has just made a new dedicated a set of workout videos for people with Parkinson's disease. And it is available free online on his YouTube channel, which is The Body Coach. And I was just interested to read how he worked with experts at St. Thomas's Hospital in London to help people with the condition exercise at home, because it's been proven that regular exercise has shown to have a very positive effect on the symptoms that can cause involuntary shaking of parts of the body. So fair play to him. And I just think he's always thinking outside the box when it comes to exercise and movement and mobility, whether it's the PE programs in the schools or elderly or children in hospital. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing him a couple of times now at this stage. And he's just, I don't know, he's just an all-round good egg, I have to say. So fair play to him. And that's live, if anybody wants to take a look at it, on his YouTube channel. Lots of people going away at the moment, but also getting, lots of people are away at the moment, but also people getting ready to head to the airport in the coming days. And a certain security company has been warning people who are about to go on holiday to cut the grass, alert the neighbours, and don't post about your holidays on social media. Because, yeah, it used to be quite a common thing, wasn't it, that you'd ring the local Garda station and let them know that you'd be away. Is that still a thing? I don't know anybody that does that. Like cancelling the milk, yes. And closing the curtains, putting on a timed light. Do you still do that? Let me know, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Or maybe you just head off going, you know what, I'm having a break. The insurance will cover it. What else? Yes, I was in the cinema this morning, of all places. So, to be honest, I was delighted it wasn't roasting outside. But I got a sneak peek of Aisling Bea's new movie, Greatest Days, which follows the story of a teenage girl and her schoolmates who are obsessed with Take That. And it's set in 1993 and it features all the amazing smash hits from Take That. And I have to say, it catapulted me right back to my teenage years. It has all the 90s feels, and I can't give too much away because it's not actually being released until next Friday, I think. But we do have Aisling Bea on the show. I'm going to be chatting to her on Monday. So I can't wait to catch up with her. But I have to say, I thought it was brilliant. A warning, you will definitely need to bring the tissues, which I wasn't expecting at all and didn't have any. The only thing I could find in my handbag was one of Grace's bibs. But it really captures the importance of teenage friendships and the angst and the importance and the impact of boy bands on your life at that time. I mean, my obsession was with a band called New Kids on the Block. Anyone remember them? NKOTB. And I kid you not, there was not one inch of wall or ceiling for about 3 years in my bedroom that was exposed. It was just plastered with posters. And I still have this very vivid memory of my dad standing on a shaky stepladder and me holding the bottom of it and him trying to put a topless poster of Jordan Knight and stick it up on the ceiling with blue tack. And just remember watching them on Top of the Pops and recording all their TV appearances on a cassette recorder. You remember you had to press play and record at the same time, right up close to the telly, and inevitably your mother would be shouting, "Dinner's ready!" Which would be then on the recording for an eternity. But yeah, really good, I have to say. But let me know if you were, or maybe still are, the biggest diehard Take That fan. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Like, remember when Robbie Williams left the band? The whole world went into a spin. And then, of course, came the announcement that they were splitting up. And actually, we found a clip from the archives. This is Gareth O'Connor reporting for RTE outside a Dublin school in 1996.
Well, I think it's very sad that they're splitting up because they're a good group.
I do.
I love them.
She loves them. I love them.
I think it's terrible. I think that they should stay together because they're the best band in the world. Go on, Take That.
They're not splitting up. They're not.
And they're not.
Oh, the wonderful Take That. They are so good. And yeah, the movie is just peppered with those big smash hits, as I said. So it is a good one. And one to look out for. It is being released next week. The movie is called The Greatest Days. Text coming in. All you meteorologists from around the country are on fire. Beautiful skies here in Gweedore and Donegal. Catherine, 22 degrees Celsius in Tremore. Somebody else, it's 21 degrees here in Clarina, County Limerick. Catherine, put a fleece on you up there in Dublin, because we are all in our t-shirts in the sunshine. So there you go. All right, keep them coming in. But now it is time for this. Yes, it is our Whodunit quiz, and we are looking for two of our lovely listeners to come on air after 4 o'clock to answer three Whodunit questions. It could be on anything: music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, comedians. And like all Whodunits, like all good Whodunits, there will be clues. If you answer without a clue, you get 2 points. Because it's a little bit harder. Obviously, if you opt to get a clue, which is that bit easier, that will get you 1 point. So, as I said, we will have that on air after 4 o'clock. And we do have a prize this week. What are you playing for? Two nights, bed and breakfast plus dinner for two people at the River Lee Hotel, which is part of the Doyle Collection. They are celebrating late summer giveaways with their range of new summer offers, from making a night of it to curated weekend experiences. There is something perfect for all types of weekend breaks in Cork. They have a beautiful riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit a lazy summer evening. A weekend in Cork has never looked better. So as I said, it's a two night stay, so it is a great prize. And all you've got to do to be in with a chance of winning it is answer this question: which exams start today? Is it the senior cert or the leaving cert? Give us a call, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. And as I said, we will have two people play for that fabulous prize later on. Now, there is intense commotion, is all I can describe, outside the window of studio at the moment. We will explain all after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, I am told to expect the unexpected when it comes to this show. So when they told me today I would be surrounded by five gigantic wolfhounds and a terrier in studio, who's the only one who is...
Irish terrier.
Yeah. Who's the only one sitting still at the moment, I was hardly surprised. But as a dog lover, I am telling you, I am trying not to go into full gush mode and maintain some level of journalistic integrity. Wayne McMahon is here, and the proud daddy of all these wolfhounds. He is in the middle of creating a wolfhound experience, and it's going to be some experience, I tell you. So, Wayne, it is lovely to meet you. I haven't even looked at you yet.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. That's okay. The dogs are the stars, so I'm just in behind. I'm just there.
The noise of the panting.
Well, they're all large breeds. Yeah. Will pant like that, yeah, because they're large breed, yeah.
Okay.
So they're not really under pressure. That's the way they pant.
So who have we here today?
Okay, so today we've got closest to you is Mac.
Mac.
Mac is the most sociable one. We've
Hi,
got
Mac.
Brendan. Connell's the dad of Brendan and Barra. So Brendan, Barra, and then Tara is the mum. So Tara and Connell are the mum and dad, and then the two boys are pups, and then Mac is here. And then Lady Macbeth is the Irish Terrier.
The Irish Terrier, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I've just got a big lot of slobber in my eye there.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, I know it just sounds so obvious, they are huge.
Yeah, they are. I just think they're magnificent.
They are so beautiful.
You know, and they're they command presence. They have a presence when they come into the room. That's for sure.
I mean, we are in a small studio, and they are five big dogs. Yeah. How many are in the pack? How many do you own altogether? How many wolfhounds?
So altogether, we've 12 wolfhounds, and we have three other small dogs. So one Irish Setter, an Irish Terrier, and then we've one Bulldog, just to kind of mix it up. She's a Bully XL, they're called.
Okay.
Daisy is her name.
Okay. So can you name the whole pack?
Okay, so we've got...
you can, into the mic.
Excuse me. And Lady Macbeth's trying to eat the
Lady
mic.
Lady Macbeth, get out of the way, please.
So we've got Connell, we've got to start with the two, the mum and dad. So Connell, Tara, then her pups is Brendan, Barra, Lunasa, Philo, Dove, and Maeve.
Okay.
Okay, and then we've got at home, then the three bigger guys at home would be Bran, Koo and Kevin.
Okay.
And then Oscar is a Red Setter, Lady Macbeth the Irish Terrier, and Crazy Daisy the Bully XL.
Hello, gorgeous. Who's this now giving me a kiss?
No, that's Brendan. Brendan, and they're all named after... We named them after... But he's after St. Brendan, so
yeah.
Brendan the Navigator, you know. So we want to give them Irish names, so we might as well. And then I loved all the stories. Before we had the YouTube and all that, we were told all the stories of Brendan Navigator, St. Bridget, St. Kevin. We haven't got Bridget yet, but St. Kevin in the Glendalough, St. Patrick and so on. So they're the kind of things that stood out to me.
Okay.
So I think they have to have Irish names. Some people think that can be... They must have an Irish name to me.
I'm with you. And I mean, they play such an important part in our history, in our mythology as well. Like, was that something, as a fella in school, was that something that always...
Well, mythology started at home, at our home, not really in school, more at home for us. And it was when we had cassette players, and my parents used to buy... They had a cassette that I used to listen to at night, kind of instead of reading a story, you'd get the cassette player. But it was also new technology. It was brilliant. And
I was actually just talking about them before.
I remember distinctly, it was Kay Byrne, a few different celebrities told a story each. So you had a double tape. And anyways, but I always remembered the mythology stuff. And I didn't... You get to a certain age, I think it's 10 or 11, you start to question everything.
Yeah.
Like, are they telling me the truth? You know, about certain things. You know, maybe it's around the Santa age. But what I'm trying to say is that when I saw the Irish Wolfhound, I just believed all the mythological stories. I just said, oh my God, it's true. Look at the dog. Look, Cullen definitely had one of these. It must be all true, because they're just, like they said, they have this presence. And I was just mad to meet one for many, many years till I eventually got one.
And when did you get your first one?
It could be about 6 years ago now.
Okay. Are you married?
Just about. I know, I'm joking. I'm married to an angel.
Okay, and have you got kids?
We've got two Collins, yeah. Molly and Mirren, yeah.
And where do you live?
Okay, so we're luckily enough, we moved down to Kells. I'm originally from Dublin, but moved to Kells, County Meath, and bought a Georgian house down there. So when we
you've
bought,
got space.
Yeah, when we bought the house, it was being rented out to Airbnb as a three, like our basement is an apartment, three bedroom apartment with its own kitchen, bathroom, everything. So the dogs have everything, their own bathroom.
So they all live in the basement.
Well, not all of them. So we have then, because it's a very, it's built in 1790, we have the original stables out the back. And so, like, my whole house is a kennel, you could say, but okay. But they're usually from the basement right down to the very back to the gate.
Okay, so do they're all, like, they kind of sleep in the house, like, do they sleep indoors with
so
you?
So we've 8 inside and 7 outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of flabbergasted because...
I know. Like, I'm so used to them, you see.
I know. And I'm a dog lover. I've got 2 dogs myself.
Okay.
And we're giving out about the hair and the shedding. And do they shed, by the way?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Everything is just 10 times. Whatever your dog does, these do 10 times more. So, like, the boils have to be 10 times. The cleaning up is 10 times more. Everything is just, like, they will damage your house, like... Their tail can take things off, like knock ornaments over just by it. They're just happy, but the tails are, the ornaments are gone.
Like, describe to the listeners, because, I mean, they're huge. And I think everybody has seen an Irish wolfhound, but when you see 5 together, and I'm just imagining you, we'll talk about the wolfhound experience now in a sec,
yeah,
what
no,
you're
no
trying
problem.
To do.
Yeah.
But, like, when you see them together, they are massive.
Yeah.
Like, how are they with your kids?
Oh, they're brilliant with the kids.
Okay.
Now, the only thing with the wolf one, they're very pushy when they want something.
Okay.
So they'll knock the kids over, no problem.
Okay.
Like, just to get a pet. But the kid's on the ground crying, you know.
Okay.
But your man just come over to get a pet and he's just, you know, and that could be just a slight movement of his head. They're very big and very strong. Like hundreds of years ago in the sportsman directory of 1750 or sometimes, they called them... the Irish wolf as big as a colt, you know.
Okay.
That's what how they describe them, you know. So... So they're big, like they're gentle, but
yeah.
They're big, and when they want something, they'll go after it. So you have to train them well when they're young.
Okay.
You know, and you have to socialise them, and they need a lot of companionship. That's the one thing. So the fact that we have more than one is great, because we've 6 pups, they all stick together, and they're great. They've never been away from each other, so they're great pals, and you know, they'll entertain each other if you're not around. Now, we are around a lot of time, most of the time, to be honest. It's a full-time job. But yeah, no, they do entertain each other. And the wolfhounds are great with wolfhounds.
Okay.
So what I mean, if you're a boxer, you're not going to put a bantamweight in with a heavyweight.
Sure.
You know, and it's the same type of thing. They play, especially when they're young, because that's when they're just finding out about everything in their own way. They don't know how big they are.
Yeah.
So, but they will put each pressure on each other if they're playing together, because they know then they're... Rather than the Irish Terrier, like the little dogs will bite them to ask them to leave them alone.
And how does Lady Macbeth cope? She's the Irish Terrier with all of them. She seems very calm there.
She is. She's very calm. She's a lovely little dog.
She's hiding under the desk.
Yeah, they're very rare. I don't know many people. Lots of Irish people ask me what type of dog is it. So I think it's great to get her out into the open as well. And she grew up with them, so she knows how to stay out of their way. But she will now. She'll put them in their place.
Okay.
I had to get stitches in a couple of ears because she jumped up and just bit their ear and like literally tore it.
Okay.
Slit in their ear, so they need 2 or 3 stitches. But that's her way of saying, back off. I can't defend myself.
And is there a leader of the pack? It sounds like Lady Macbeth kind of has that sewn up. But between the wolfhounds, is there a very obvious leader?
Yeah, Tara is the matriarch.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So rightfully so.
You want to bring your love of wolfhounds
out
in the world, and you're doing an experience where you can walk with them and people can learn about them, learn about the history. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so... For me, it's going back to the mythology and seeing my very first wolfhound when I was a child and never really getting a chance to meet one. You know, it took probably years and years and years before I actually met one. And I can understand how other wolfhound owners kind of, the same people, they say the same thing. People say the same thing. They don't mean to, but they ask you, like, is he like a small horse? Can you put a saddle on him? Oh my God, who, you know. How much does he eat? So it's kind of also, you can see how other wolfhound owners can be quite rude. They don't mean to be rude. They just get asked the same question. They want to go for a walk. They want to be left alone. They just keep walking. So I always thought that wolfhound owners were the most rudest people in the world.
Okay.
But the reality is that they get stopped everywhere they go.
Yeah, because they're such intrigue.
So I kind of went on I always remembered that when kids stopped to talk to me. I said, well, remember the day when nobody stopped for you? Well, some people did, but you wanted always more. So I kind of waited around. And then COVID, we closed 3 or 4 shops. I was in retail and we closed. We have still one, but we've 3 closed now. And I just decided then, we had 5 wolfhounds at the time, to breed Connell and Tara together. And This is my dream. Like, it's 7 days a week. It's very hard work, right? And I don't recommend it to anyone. I don't recommend a lot of dogs to anyone because it's not for everyone. It's 7 days a week. So
and is this your full time job?
But then? Now it's, yeah. Well, I have a retail store and that's my job as well. But this is my full time job because they need care 7 days a week. And so again, it's just to get people out, to get them. Like the Fianna, they had 200 or 300. So Fionn McCool, the Fianna, the band of warriors that, you know, roamed the land in the forestry of Ireland, they had apparently 200 or 300 wolfhounds. So that's what really inspired me, if I'm honest. Imagine having 101 Dalmatians by Walt Disney, but 200 or 300 by the Fianna and Fionn McCool and his two famous wolfhounds, Bran and Scolan, who found his wife, nearly killed his wife.
Yeah.
Who was in a form of a deer, but then they recognised she was under a guess, under a dream, or under a spell. And Then she came out of the spell. She had children who were wolfhounds who became Bran and Scolan, which is Finn's two favourite dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But they were humans in a dog's body.
In a dog's body, yeah.
And
yeah,
she
yeah.
returned to a human state.
Yes.
So, and he then married, Fionn McCool married that lady then.
So are you like a modern day Fionn McCool? Like, are you the person in Ireland who owns the most Irish wolfhounds?
I'd say there's more. Like,
is there?
Yeah, well, there was a lady. No, I don't think she's in her 70s now, so maybe she doesn't. I must contact her. And she provided the Irish Army and the British Army with wolfhounds, you know, the mascots.
Yes,
you'd see
yes,
the Queen
yes.
with them and stuff. So yeah. She's from Nutstown, and she had 14 or 12, 18 at some stage.
Okay.
So there is a lot of breeders. You'd be surprised. I'm just maybe went want I don't breed and I don't show.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to really.
So when are these experiences starting? And is it in Dublin City?
In Dublin City, okay. Yeah, in Stephen's Green at the moment. So we're working with the OPW. So I'm just finalising everything with them. But it will be in Stephen's Green, and we'll be doing taking individuals, couples, groups, all sorts of. We'll be dressed in costume, which will be important, nice as well, to get people into the mood.
So people can come, walk the dogs, learn about the history of them,
and
go on a walk around Dublin City. With
That's
what?
Right.
With the ten dogs, the seven of them.
Well, we hope to bring seven.
Okay.
There's two numbers. You got three. If you were really special and you're really nice to an Irish chieftain, he'd give you three.
Right.
But if you were super cool and you're top of the food chain, you get seven.
Wow.
So the Romans were given seven as a gift.
Okay.
Probably to win favour.
Okay.
You know, so the Romans wrote about these and they wrote it's probably 50 years before St. Patrick, around the same time when St. Patrick was abducted and taken to Ireland as a slave. The Romans wrote about the Irish wolfhounds. It's around the same time.
Okay, so I love your passion when it comes to history. I can imagine you fully dressed up, suited and booted.
Yes.
With all these guys. And I'm sorry to be so obvious, but I, as a dog person, I just have to ask some more obvious questions.
I love obvious questions. Easy questions only.
It's like, how do you deal, like there's a lot of picking up poo. I just can't even imagine. This is how many half of them. How do you...
So okay. So there was an article in The Independent, and yourselves rang me yesterday. So I had said this to a couple of friends in my WhatsApp group. So they're all saying back, "Oh, brilliant! That's great! That's great!" Meanwhile, I'm kneeling down, picking up poo. It's constant. It's 10:30 at night. You're going out to a round. You have to go and check them, put them all to bed, let them on. You know, there's lots. It's and then disposal of that, and obviously, like I said, so your little dogs do some poo, so they're 10 times the weight. So you can only imagine. And in the morning time, it's all like clockwork. They're very like ourselves. They wake up in the morning, they go,
I hear you. And then exercise, are they walking twice a day or?
When does okay, with wolfhounds, it's not about, some people ask me, oh, they must be very expensive. And it's wolfhound breeders don't like to give wolfhounds. There's a lot to it. They're a giant breed. They're not for everyone. That's 100%. For the first year, they have to be fed a special diet. They must be walked a certain way, not walked much. Everything must be timed. Food must be weighed. 4 times a day feeding. So, there's a lot to it.
And do you share these jobs with your wife and the kids, or is this just you that does this?
My wife has helped me a lot, let's be honest. But as time has progressed and the work's got harder, she's been pushing it more to me, going, this is your idea, this is your... cleaning is the main thing, trying to keep the place clean and the maintenance and so on. But we're hoping with the wolfhound experience we'll be able to... You know, get fully booked during the year, and then we'd be able to employ more people to help us do all these jobs as well. Which is, some people love to work with dogs. Like, I would love to work with dogs, so that's why I'm doing it full time. So it's not a huge thing. But yeah, no, it's definitely had. There's been a few issues over here, but this is what you're going to get when you work with animals.
Mm.
You know, TV and film, they always say never work with animals because always something will go wrong.
Yeah. Well, listen, they are so well behaved here. We're going to put video of them on our social media page because they're just lying here and they've taken up the entire carpet in the studio. They have been so well behaved.
There's another thing I just want to point out. There's lots we'll do on the actual tour. There's not enough. I can't say everything here.
Sure.
But there's lots. But something simple that I just find might be worth mentioning is, like, for instance, the name Connor. We use names all the time, like O'Connell. Connell, we've got one here.
Yeah.
O'Connell means the mighty one. And it means the mighty hound.
Okay.
Connolly, James Connolly, means the fierce hound. This is when you translate these second names, you know.
Okay.
Conroy, the O'Connora is the original name to that. That means hound keeper. The name Connor, O'Connor, mm-hmm. means hound lover. So, like, it's... we got a surname. We had surnames before the English, to be honest with you. It's probably 1,000 years ago, around the 10th century. So this is where you see all these names coming in. So what's your name? So I'm the hound keeper, O'Connor. I'm the hound. I'm the fierce hound. So it's amazing how they really are in our... Like, we were one of the longest breeders in Europe, you could say. We're the oldest, one of the oldest breeders in Europe. The fact that we were supplying the Romans with hounds, you know, and dogs, certain hunting dogs.
Amazing.
You know, so that to me is, you know, that I find that fascinating.
All right. Well, listen, I know the website is still a work in progress, but people can keep an eye on people can keep an eye on your Instagram account. It's the Wolfhound Experience. The website will be thewolfhoundexperience.com.
The Wolfhound Experience. Now, we didn't put in the Irish Wolfhound because the Irish is just a bit too long. So
okay.
thewolfhoundexperience.com. And then we're also on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, but mainly Instagram is the main one. So DM me if ever.
Well, that has been my favourite interview in the longest of times, I have to say.
Let's remember, the dogs are the stars. It's nothing to do with me. They're all that. They just do it all on their own. I just do the hard work. I'm just the same. That's all.
So Wayne, Connell, Tara, Brendan, Barra, Mac, and Lady Macbeth, where are you? Come here. Thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you for coming in, and I can't wait to get out on one of your walks.
It was so nice to meet you.
So Thank nice you to meet so you, much. And they're so well behaved. Lovely to meet you. Yes, yes, yes. All right, let's get some music.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, order has been restored. Order has been restored, and I've got my next guest in, and we've aired the studio as much as we can, and. Yeah, that was a good bit of fun. But my next guest is sitting here, and thankfully we did check that she was okay with dogs before she got here.
Yes,
is that right, Lindsay?
Not a bother. Yeah.
Did you know that over 500,000 people provide ongoing care for a family member in Ireland? And next week is Carers Week, and to mark it, Family Carers Ireland are running their National Heart of Gold campaign to raise awareness and funds for the charity. And one woman who understands the importance and has benefited from the support of Family Carers Ireland is Lindsay O'Donovan from Swords, who is in studio to talk to me about the campaign and tell us her story. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for
having
me.
And I'd say you
Catherine.
Weren't expecting the last guests to leave.
They were big. Barely, but good fun.
And had quite the aroma.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they were nice and stinky. Yeah.
And Wayne had been telling me that he had bathed them before their big appearance at the radio centre.
That's what he said. They're nice and clean. Okay.
But come here, it's so nice to meet you.
You too.
And so let's just start. Maybe tell me a bit about yourself, about your family, your home.
Yeah, so my name is Lindsay. I have a husband, Cottle. We have 4 children. So the eldest is Jack, he's 20. Then we have 3 lovely girls, Robin, Katie and Sophie.
Okay.
So teenagers.
And you also have a little doggy as
and
well.
And we have a little dog, Sky, our King Charles, who is adorable.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's it. It's a busy house.
Okay.
We're always on the go.
And you're full-time carer to Jack.
Full-time carer to Jack. I say mammy first, carer next. So, yeah, he's 20 years old now. So it is, it's a full-time job.
Okay.
It is 24/7. So Jack, I'll tell you a little bit about him. So he's got severe cerebral palsy. He's epilepsy. He's peg-fed. So he's quadriplegic cerebral palsy, which means he hasn't got the use of his 4 limbs. He's also non-verbal.
Okay.
So Jack communicates using love, and which is a sign language. And then he has a device that he can talk through. And he also has a symbol board.
Okay.
So mentally, Jack is 100%. So he understands everything you're saying, and he's the cheekiest little kid going. But, it, you know, it's hard for him sometimes. He gets frustrated when he is trying to communicate to people.
Mm. And I can imagine then from a baby right through to where he is now, the level of care has changed, has become maybe more challenging as the years have gone.
Physical. As he's got bigger. So as a baby, it was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you're used to it. Things were different because he needed a lot more care when he was younger. So from
and can I just can, sorry to interrupt you now, but can I ask you when he was diagnosed and
so it was his birth. So when he was born, it was a difficult birth, and that's where he was. We were told there'd be complications straight away.
Okay,
but it was due to the birth. So I had an emergency section.
Okay,
and he had scans, but we were told that Jack was 98% brain damaged, which, if you see him now, he's as bright as a button and anything but.
Okay.
He's doing amazing. So it was from the word go, it was full on appointments, physios, every therapy going we did. And, you know, as he got older, everything looked a little bit brighter.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a lot of appointments, a lot of care needs. He's always been 24/7, so he's now peg fed and he needs
What does that actually mean?
Yeah, so he has a tube in his stomach.
Okay.
And the food just goes in through that. So it's made up food. So it's all his nutrition, everything that he needs goes straight into his stomach. So I don't have to worry because Jack aspirates on food.
Mm-hmm.
So he still loves his food.
Does he have a favourite food?
He does. He has a few. So when we go out, salmon, mash and peppered sauce, that's Jack's favourite.
Okay.
And then over lockdown, he got a little longing for curry chips. So it was curry chips for two years of lockdown. I know, well, now I'm turned off curry chips for life. So that's it. Curry chips every day for lockdown. And that got us through. In the morning, he'd wake up, phone for curry chips. I'm like, okay. And he'd relax then. So,
and can I ask you particularly about lockdown? Because I know for a lot of families who have children with additional needs, it was a difficult time.
Yeah. It was. It was really difficult. Jack is extremely social and he is so used to it. We have amazing family who are in and out with us a lot. They help us a lot. And just on the social aspect, he's always out and about. So Jack, the minute he comes home from adult services, where are we going? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
So all of that stopped. We had no carers in. We had no family in. It was just us in a bubble. My husband was out working. The three girls were homeschooling. Jack obviously couldn't do homeschooling. There was a little bit of online, but I had to physically sit and do that with them.
Mm-hmm.
So he got very frustrated and it was really, really tough for him and for all of us in the house. You know, looking back, how did we ever
get through it?
Yeah.
But and I'm just thinking about the three girls there because they obviously came along and you were a full-time mom to them as well as being mom to Jack and full-time carer. So that changes the dynamic in a house. And for them, they've always seen you as carer. And have they then stepped into a carer role as well?
I would call them young carers 100%. They're amazing to their brother. They do a lot of stuff for him. They do stuff that kids their age shouldn't be doing, but very willingly do. So they're brilliant. It's made them really caring people. Now, there's times where they'd be like, oh, you know, we can't do such a thing or we can't do this because...
Because they feel they need to give you the support?
Yeah, well, also, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they probably don't get the same amount of time from me because Jack gets a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But they are quite understanding. But, you know, they're teenagers now and... So it is. It can be tough when you can't give them all the time that they need, but they are understanding.
So, Lindsay, what do you find the most challenging when it comes to caring for Jack?
Yeah. So the daily physical hard work, it can be quite tough with Jack. And when he gets frustrated, that can be quite tough. But also the form filling, the looking for stuff. At the minute, Jack needs a new chair. You know, he's on a waiting list. You or me need a new pair of shoes, we go and get it.
Mm.
He's grown out of this chair months ago, but we are still waiting, phoning, begging for a new chair that will take months to make anyway. So all that kind of stuff, everything you need, there's a million forms to fill out. And that's stuff that we as carers could do without if we could just get on with doing our carer's job and not have to do so much of the admin, mm-hmm. it would make life definitely easier.
Okay. And is that where Family Carers Ireland comes in terms of, I assume and presume they provide all different types of support, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But even put aside Family Carers Ireland for a minute, what help do you get? What help is there for you
yes.
from the HSC?
So us personally, we get 9 hours a week off the HSC, which is we've been getting that for a number of years. Up until that, we got 2 hours a week. And that's like including summer holidays. Jack is off for 2 months. He's off Christmas, he's off Easter, the whole lot. And we got 2 hours a week up until, I'd say about 7 years ago. And then we fought and we got 9 hours a week.
Okay.
So we're very lucky to have that. But we also get a phone call every year near threatening that that's going to be taken off us. You know, it's going to be reviewed, maybe taken off you. And it's not an awful lot, like 9 hours a week.
And is that somebody, is that where?
Someone coming into the house. So okay. we get it 3 days a week, 3 hours each time.
Okay. But and is there any help at night time?
No. So Jack sleeps with us because I turn Jack on a good night about 10 times a night. He needs to be turned because he can't do that himself. So no, he's beside us at night as well.
And you turn him 10 times during the night?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to get out of the bed.
Yeah, well, he's beside us in the bed. So now okay. I've got so used to it that I just kind of flip him over, you know, okay. kind of go back to sleep. So we are used to broken sleep, but it's not great either. Mm. You know, as I'm getting older, I'm like, I could do with a little bit more sleep. Mm. Yeah.
And I can imagine that's conversations that you are now regularly having yeah. with your husband and your family.
Yeah.
In terms of the older you get.
Yeah.
The more challenging that's going to become.
Well, it is, because Jack is 20. Mm. You know, I'm now, you know, we're looking at in 20 years time mm. when I'm in my 60s and Jack's in his 40s. Mm. How do you lift a child? Even as it is now, it can be difficult. You know, we do have hoists and stuff like that, but there still is a lot of physicality in it, a lot of lifting and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Okay. So talk to me then about Family Carers Ireland and what they have done for you yeah. and how they have helped you cope.
Yeah. So personally, Family Carers Ireland have been brilliant. I suppose it went back through COVID when you are quite isolated. As a family carer, it can feel isolating anyway. Mm-hmm. But Family Carers Ireland, it was the phone calls, do you need anything, sending us hand sanitizers, gloves. But it was constant contact that made us feel not as isolated. So I suppose that's where it really started with us. Then we've received respite from them and also counselling. And I attend, they do a monthly support group all over the 26 counties in Ireland, which I attend. And there's a lot, you get a lot of advice and help. And you also meet other carers that mm. you can just sit and have a chat with and say, I'm not alone. Mm. It's not just me. You know, so it's, they were brilliant.
And I have to say, like when you think about it on a day-to-day, a week-to-week, a month-to-month basis,
yeah,
it is vital that you have that communication yeah. with somebody that understands,
yeah.
that knows what you're going through
yeah.
and that can have people there, as you yeah. say, not just even in a physical sense,
yeah.
but on the end of the phone.
Yeah. And that's what it was. So they do, if you can't physically get to their counselling session or their monthly support groups, they do a lot online,
mm.
whether it be counselling, someone to chat to. They do have a free phone number as well, 1800 24 07 24. If anybody felt that they needed to talk to somebody, pick up the phone. If you're worried about anything and you're in a caring role, they're absolutely brilliant and they will definitely give you a help with anything.
And I can imagine as well, Lindsay, when it comes to respite, it's not just good and important for you
yeah.
to be
yeah.
able to function and be the best carer that you yeah. very clearly are, but it's also good for Jack in terms yeah. of his sense of independence
yeah.
as well.
Well, like that, Jack is so social, so all he wants to do is go out. So when the carer comes in straight away, it's like out the door, loves going to the shops, going for walks, getting his curry chips, all that kind of thing. So he is just out and he loves, it's a break for him from us as much as it's a break for us as well. It's a, definitely a two-way street.
And just listening to you there, and I know we hear the phrase mom guilt a lot, and it's kind of, you know, bandied about. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you feel that it's tiring having to ask and fight for help all the time in order just to kind of try and keep your head above water?
Yeah. Well, years ago, why we didn't get any help is because I didn't like to ask for it. And I kind of, it's very hard to ask for someone to come in and help you with your child. And when you then really need it for your own sanity, it is hard to have to then beg for it and beg for hours. Last year, we went 6 months without any care for Jack because there was no carers available. So when you have to beg for someone to come in and help you mind your child, it is, it's not a nice feeling. It doesn't make you feel great. It it's definitely mom guilt because you want to be the one who's able to look after your child. But you have to, this is it for the rest of our life. We're going to be looking after Jack. So you have to have a balance.
Yeah, and put that aside and know that you are doing the best thing for your child and the best thing for your family as well. Well, listen, it has been so lovely to talk to you today. And the Family Carers Ireland Heart of Gold National Collection takes place Thursday 15th and Friday 16th of June, which coincides with Carers Week next week. And again, the campaign encourages the public to support family carers by purchasing a Heart of Gold pin.
And there's also, with the Heart of Gold, there's a few ways to get involved. So one is you can buy a pin when they're being sold, and then you could host coffee morning. You could, what myself and Jack are doing this month is the 50 mile challenge in the month of June.
Amazing.
So you can register.
Tell me about that.
So yeah, it's walking 50 miles for the month of June to raise money for Family Carers Ireland. So you can register. There's a fabulous group that we're in now on Facebook. So everyone who's registered, we're on this beautiful page. Everyone is so supportive and we're all out doing our walk. So Jack is doing his walk. He's doing it in a walker, in his wheelchair. And we're flying it. So he's loving it, getting out and all the fun. And people can also go onto the website as well and donate, www.familycarers.ie.
I love it. And I love seeing the photographs of him. He and I know exactly what you mean when I see photographs of him. He is the most communicative, non-verbal. You see that from, like, what has he taught you? What has Jack taught you, I suppose, about being a mom?
He's taught me a lot. If you said to me 20 years ago, this is going to be your child, you're going to be looking after him, not in a million years. So he's taught me to be a little bit more selfless, a little bit more caring, a little bit more compassionate to everybody. And I suppose be a little bit more patient and calm and, you know, so,
well, listen,
he's taught me a lot.
He's lucky to have such a great mom. Lindsay O'Donovan, it's been lovely chatting to you today.
Thanks a million, Catherine.
And let's get everybody behind the campaign, Family Carers Ireland and the Heart of Gold Collection, which takes place next week. Nice chatting to you. Back after this.
Thanks. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Niamh, our producer, has just left the studio once again with them some air freshener. Anyway, Anish Toshe and I'm the Prief Scalt and Anukta, La Colum, McGilla Aspic. Gurmahagat, the Colum, lots of texts coming in here about wolfhounds. Catherine, Ashford Castle have their own Irish wolfhounds. When they are fully trained, they're allowed into the castle. You can also go for a walk in the woods before breakfast with the Irish wolfhounds, the real Irish setter, and other dogs at around 8 a.m. in the morning. And that's at Ashford Castle. It's absolutely brilliant, says Gina. Sounds amazing. And I've actually done that before, but I think this one, what's different about it is it's Dublin city centre. So people are asking for the website again, and it's wolfhounds, the wolfhound experience.com, the wolfhound experience.com. A text in from Sally Ann. Lindsay and her entire family, including Jack's granny Mary, are the kindest people and they deserve more. All right. Let me tell you as well. Yes, I want to remind you about the run with Ray, because they, Ray and the whole team, they are teaming up for a great week at the end of the month. It's the run with Ray, where Ray is asking you to run 5K with him and the entire team. So the show are going to be taking to the road, broadcasting from beautiful Buncrana on Monday, June 26th on to Sligo, Tuesday 27th. The Roadcaster will then go to Mullingar, Wednesday 28th, before moving down to Wicklow's Avondale Forest Park on Thursday 29th, finishing up at Corca Park in Dublin on Friday 30th. So after the show is broadcast every day, the run will start at 5:30. So you can register to take part, rte.ie/Ray, where when you sign up, we'll send you out a t-shirt as well. And just to remind you, I said it yesterday, our running coach, Mary Jennings, she is going to be on the show tomorrow. And we'll be checking in with Ray too. So really love to get you involved in that. And that's proudly sponsored by Irish Life with support from the local sports partnerships. OK, it is time now for this. Yes, we have got two listeners on the line ready for our Who Done It quiz. And they are playing for the fabulous prize of two nights bed and breakfast plus dinner for two people at the River Lee Hotel, which is part of the Doyle Collection. They have a beautiful riverside location, luxurious bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit a lazy summer evening. So a weekend in Cork has never looked better. So again, today we're giving away, and for the rest of the week, a two night stay at the River Lee with dinner on one evening in the River Club, Cork's ultimate destination to eat, drink and be social. So to find out more, you can check out the website doylecollection.com/Cork. The question we asked was, which exam start today? It is, of course, the Leaving Cert. And two people that got that right, along with countless others, but those that were successful getting through, Paula Bergen and Keith McDonough. Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Paula, you are player number one, they tell me, so I'm going to start with you. How are you doing? What are you up to today?
Good. Well, I'm a Leaving Cert teacher of home economics, so I'm waiting to see what came up on the paper today.
Oh, okay. You haven't heard anything yet. It's probably a little too early, is it?
No, it doesn't finish till 4:30, so it will be after that.
Okay, so are you saying plenty of rosaries at the moment?
Absolutely, yes.
Because I think we forget as well, for the teachers, it is a bit like it's a nervous time. You know, you want everybody to do as well as they can, and...
Yes, of course we do. And, you know, we were hoping for a fair paper, you know, that the students find doable anyway.
Okay. And when do you get to see the paper? Like, when can you have a look at it?
Well, it actually should be up online before 4:30.
Okay.
All the exams are a couple of minutes before the end of the exam. So we can look it up on the SEC website.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck, because I'd say you can't really start your holidays or get into holiday mode until you figure out how everybody has gotten on.
No, exactly.
And have you any plans for the summer yourself, or?
Well, I'm going off to Lanzarote next week with my sister and her two children, who I want to say a big shout out to, Miriam and Ellen,
down in
Kilkenny. So they're very excited. They have their suitcases packed a month ago, I think.
Lovely. And I hope the weather improves. Did I see it was a little rainy in Lanzarote today?
Yeah, it was the effect of a storm or something. Okay. But it is to pick up.
It'll be fabulous by the time you get there.
Yeah.
That's the way
it
to think
will,
of it.
It will.
All right, Paula, stay on the line. Keith McDonough, how are you, sir?
Very good. Yourself?
I am not a bother. Where are you calling from today?
Good. I'm calling from Sligo.
Oh, lovely.
Sligo.
Weather nice up there?
Yeah, it's very good still.
Good.
Thankfully.
Good. And what's going on in your world at the moment?
Well, I'm just waiting for someone to come out of that home economics exam. So.
You are joking. Tell me who's doing Leaving Cert Home Economics. That is gas.
My son Connor, so
okay.
I'm just waiting here for him to come out. So.
Oh my goodness. Crossed. Oh my goodness. And how was he feeling going into it?
Look, a little nervous going in this morning, but look, the same fella takes everything in his stride, like, so.
Okay.
He won't get too stressed out.
Okay. And who is his home economics teacher, and does he like her or him?
Look, I have to say all the teachers up in Summerhill have been fantastic, so.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And so what's the plan for this evening? You'll obviously have to feed him and calm his nerves,
Well,
I'd say.
We'll see what he's like when he gets home, have a bit of dinner and enjoy the bit of sunshine while he's left and
Brilliant.
Get ready for tomorrow.
Brilliant. Oh, I know. It's a long old week, isn't it, for them? Long two weeks.
Yeah.
All right. And they say it's a big milestone for you this September as well.
Yeah, I'm going to turn 50, so.
Good man. And any plans?
Well, I'm going to go to Italy for a week. So after we have a bit of a party and that.
Brilliant. And sure, you might even squeeze in a weekend in Cork if you're lucky today as well.
All going well.
All right, so it's Paula and Keith playing today. Guys, do you want to wish each other the best of luck?
Best of luck, Paula.
Yeah, best of luck, Keith.
All right, Paula, you are contestant number one, so we're going to start with you. And the first category is all female bands. Okay, all female bands, all female music bands. So what do you, how are you feeling? Do you want a clue which will get you 1 point, or are you going to feel brave and go no clue, which will get you 2 points on the board?
I might go with the clue.
Go with the clue. Okay, so the clue for this is this band gave a shout out to their ex. Take a sip on my secret potion. I'll make you fall in love. Okay, Paula, who's that?
Is it Little Mix?
You are the coolest home economics teacher in Ireland, Paula. Well done, you. That is the right answer. So, phew, 1 point on the board for you. Well done. Keith, over to you. The first category again for you is all female bands. So, how are you feeling? Do you want a clue for 1 point or no clue, which will get you 2 points?
No clue, please.
No clue?
Yeah.
No clue? Okay, so this is for 2 points. And all you've got to do is tell us who this band is. Someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you going to let them pull you down and make you cry? Don't you know, things will change, things will go your way. If you hold on for one more day. All right, Keith, who's that band? Oh, hard luck. It was Wilson Phillips. That is who we were looking for, Keith. Hard luck. The song was Hold On. But you do exactly that because it ain't over yet. Paula, back to you. The second category is Best Actress Oscar Winners. Okay, Best Actress Oscar Winners. So would you like a clue for 1 point or... do you want to go no clue, which will earn you 2 points?
I'll go with the clue again.
You'll go with the clue again. Okay, so this is to get you 1 point on the board. And the clue is this actress won an Oscar for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Who is this?
So I'm hyperventilating a little bit. If I fall over, pick me up because I've got some things to say. I want to thank Martin McDonagh. Look what you did. We are a bunch of hooligans and anarchists, but we do clean up nice. If I may be so honored to have all the female nominees in every category stand with me in this room tonight. Meryl, if you do it, everybody else will.
All right, Paula, who's that?
It's Frances McDormand.
Yes, is the right answer. You are on fire today, Paula. Amazing. Well, that was a snippet of her speech from 2017 when she won for her role, as I said, in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. So 2 points on the board for you. Keith, back to you.
Okay.
So again, our second category is Best Actress Oscar Winners. What do you think? Are you going to go a clue?
I'll have to go no clue again.
No clue. All right. All you've got to do, Keith, is let us know who this is.
Making the film of Cabaret was one of the happiest times of my whole life, and I would like to thank everybody connected with it, but most especially the artistic staff, Mr. Fosse and Fred Ebb and John Kander. And thank you for giving me this award. You've made me very happy.
Who's that, Keith?
Not a clue.
Oh, all right. It was Liza Minnelli. That was who we were looking for, and that was a snippet from her speech in 1972, when she won the Oscar for her role in Cabaret. All right. So hard luck. That means, Paula, if you get this next question right, you are today's winner. So let me tell you, our third category is celebrity gardeners. 1 point. Oh. With a clue and 2 points for no clue.
I'll go with the clue.
Go with the clue, okay.
Yeah.
And that means it's 1 point on the board. But if you do get this right, Keith cannot catch you, okay? So
okay.
This is your clue today. Often a star of the Chelsea Flower Show. Who is this?
But I always loved design, and I loved outdoors, and I loved the idea of a place being transformed and lots of people getting together to do it. I was completely enchanted. And they also did a makeover, and around that time the Willy Wonka movie came out, and I saw a different type of garden. So between both of them, that was it.
All right, Paula, who's that?
I can see him. I can't think of his name.
Oh.
No.
Hard luck. It was Dermot Gavin
who we were
looking for there. Okay, that means, Keith, you are still in the game, as they say. So our third category is celebrity gardeners for you, Keith, right? You do need to go for no clue, which would leave us with a tiebreaker situation if you get it right, okay?
Okay, perfect.
So all you've got to do, close your eyes, listen to this and tell me who it is.
This is what you should be doing now.
Yeah.
At the back of every month, there is things you can do, things not to do. But it's like, as you said, there's a bird of the month, there's music you could listen to this month, there's, you know, famous gardener of the month, all kinds of different things. It's about music, it's about reading. If you're interested in the great outdoors and gardening, you don't have to be a keen gardener. It's just something to dip into and get a bit fat.
Who's that, Keith?
Alan Titchmarsh.
Is the right answer. Back in the game. All right, that means, guys, we have a tiebreaker. 2 points for Paula, 2 points for Keith. And when it comes to a tiebreaker, we asked you both a question before you came on air. And the question was this. According to Google Maps, how long would it take for you to walk from Mullingar, County Westmeath, to Fermoy in County Cork? Paula, can you remember what you said?
I said 15 hours, 30 minutes.
Yes, and Keith, can you remember what you said?
I think it was 16 hours, 32 minutes.
Well, the correct answer, ladies and gentlemen, is 38 hours. Oh. So that means, Keith, you are today's winner. Well done, you. And that means, unfortunately, Paula, that it didn't go your way today, even though you played a blinder. But we will be sending
Unlucky,
you...
Paula.
Yeah, we will
no
be sending
problem,
you a keep cup out to you, and best of luck. Enjoy Lanzarote when you get there, and hope the sun stays shining for you. Nice to chat to you today, Paula.
Yes.
Keith,
no problem. Thank you.
Well done, Keith. You're our winner today. I didn't think that was going to happen, to be honest. But fair
neither
play
did
to you.
I, be honest.
Delighted for you. Delighted for you. So listen, you've got two nights in the Riverlea Hotel down in Cork. So enjoy it whenever you get there, and whoever you bring. And best of luck collecting Connor today after his home economics exam. Hope it all goes his way, and have a lovely evening.
Thanks very much. Take care.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thanks, Mill. Back after this.
Take care. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right. We have actress Mary Murray, who is waiting in the wings. But first, here is some homegrown music with Nell Mescal and Homesick. That is the wonderful Nell Mescal there with Homesick. All right, it's been nearly 10 years since she first starred in the hit TV show Love Hate as Janet. And what a busy 10 years it's been, both on screen and on stage. Mary Murray, great to see you.
Hello.
And having read everything that you're up to recently, my first question is, do you ever sleep?
Well, what I will say is we were just talking about the fact that you have children. And thank God I have no children. So, you know,
so
it's
you
time
do
for
get a night's
things.
Sleep.
Like sleep, yeah.
Oh, it's great to meet you.
Yeah, and, you too.
So how are things? Life has been busy. Like, I don't even know where
good.
To start. It's busy right across the boards. You've won an award for Best Actress in a BBC audio drama earlier this year. Tell us about that.
It was a show that I did, a play called The Pride of Parnell Street, which toured for about 4 years on and off. So it was really, it really lived in me, you know.
Mm.
Myself and Carl Shields were playing husband and wife first, and then I had a rotation of husbands then because we were touring different places. Carl had kids, but, you know, I had no kids, okay. And I got to keep enjoying myself. But anyway, yeah, it was Aidan Kelly and Joe Hanley, and it was just one of those beautiful plays that I lived in. And years later, like 10 years later or something, the BBC wanted to do it, and of course I was delighted and thought no more of it then. It was great, delighted, did it, and then found out that I was nominated for Best Actress for the BBC Audio Drama Awards, and I was like, what?
Yeah,
and I love voiceover stuff, so it was a real gift for me, you know. Like, I've done a lot of animation stuff and that, and I just want to keep doing loads and loads more of it. So that, like, that's a nice little gift for me.
And one of your animations is in the cinema right now. So tell me about My Fairy Troublemaker.
Well, My Fairy Troublemaker, I'm playing an old lady, which is very different from the play I'm here to advertise, because the play I'm playing a 7-year-old. And this, I'm like this woman that's a few hundred years old, but obviously, you know, the voice of probably an 80-something-year-old. And it's Carmela I play. And it's nice character. And I teach drama. So two of my students are in it as well. I always try and along the way get, you know, students into things I'm in, or try and get into things they're in.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
And so, I often, you know, when I saw like documentaries of, say, Tom Hanks doing Toy Story and doing the animation, and doing the voiceover for that, it is fascinating.
I know.
How you have to get into it. Like, you're watching little stick men, little matchstick men, and you're sometimes acting to nobody. Like, it must be quite unusual to get into it.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. But it depends on what part of the process you come in at. Because if you do it from the very, very beginning, you kind of do a guide track and there isn't really any pictures for you, and you do a trillion characters. And then they kind of send that along. The artists go and draw the pictures and stuff. And then they bring it back to you, and then they give you your main characters to do, and they kind of flesh out all the other characters. And beforehand, they're like, they take videos of all your facial expressions and stuff and draw them in. And it is fascinating. And directors of animation, like, they really know their comedy, because they're, you know, they're tapping into every millisecond of things. You know, the way we kind of get away with having pauses and all that stuff. You get away with none of that with animation, you know.
And where technology is going. Oh, I mean, and obviously the home of animation here, we have got such brilliant people, you know, on the worldwide stage. It's incredible. You mentioned your students there, so you've still got your drama school.
Yeah, we're on Visions Drama School, and still I've been teaching for a long time, over probably 25 years in all. But I just love them. Yeah, they're brilliant. Great bunch.
So you're here to talk about Holy Mary.
Yes,
this is the play. It is coming to the Three Olympia Theatre the 11th to the 15th of July.
Yes.
Tell me about it. I love because even just looking at the photograph, the poster for it,
it is
of the two little
fun.
Girls in their communion dresses, it is brilliant. What an amazing photo. So tell us all about it.
So the year is 1986. It's the year I actually made my Holy Communion.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's based around 2 7-year-old girls. Myself, I play Mary Leary. And then Jacinta Sheeran plays Magella Barnes. And we hate each other. And it's all about the lead up to the First Holy Communion, and, you know, the confessions and thinking about the dress and just how these girls get into each other's lives. But we kind of, it's in two parts. So you get to hear my side of the story, you know, you see the world from my perspective. And in my world, you know, a 7-year-old's world, it's so passionate and everything is just so big, you know, like if they love something, they love it. And if they hate it, they really despise it. And Magella is the bane of my life, and she's bullying me. And I'm telling the audience this, and I'm telling them what she's doing to me, and all terrible things. They're all rooting for me in the first half. And Jacinta plays the other characters, like the mother and the priest.
So it's just the two of you.
Just two of us.
All of the characters. Great. Okay.
And then it flips. In the second act, you see it from her perspective, and it's a totally different story altogether. And it's just so much fun, because if you're around my age, it's all the nostalgia, you know, or like even within the 10 or 20 years, you really think, oh yeah, that was my world when I made my first Holy Communion. It's all about what kind of sins did I commit? And you know, teacher.
Do you remember your confessions back
then?
Yeah,
I remember. I remember the confession was done in the school for some reason, which was a bit weird. But I do remember going, thinking, oh, what do I say? Like, oh, I lied and I hit my sister.
You're coming up with stuff to say.
I was trying not to lie at the same time.
I know.
Because that was the whole thing. Like, and think about like Catholic Ireland at the time. You really did think that you were going to burn in hell, you know? Because I remember my granny brought us to some mass in Walkinstown, and it went on for about 3 hours. It was exhausting. But at one point there was some woman on the altar, and she was pointing at me at the back of the church, and she was going, "You'll burn in hell," and I was going, "Me?" I was really taking this with me, you know. And these little girls in the store, yeah, they really take on what the priest is saying, and they want to be good, but they, you know, they're inherently bad.
Oh, okay. Well, it's crafted by Owen Colfer,
of course,
the brilliant Owen Colfer. So
he's done all the Artemis Fowl books, writes children so brilliantly. He's amazing.
Amazing. Well, listen, as I said, it is on the Three Olympia Theatre, 11th to the 15th of July. It's called Holy Mary and starring the wonderful Mary Murray. Thank you so much for coming
thank
in
you
to chat
so
to
much
us today. That is all we have time
pleasure
for, unfortunately. I'll be back tomorrow. Sarah and Cormac are next on Drive Time. Have a lovely evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.